There's about 6 months worth of sermons in these two readings. There's at least an hour's worth of sermon, but I won't keep you quite that long. Except to say, these two readings, I think, get to the, pun intended, root of what we are, who we are, and how we are to live as children of God, as Christians. Now, on the surface, some of this can sound quite simple. God is love. I am the true vine. And yet the argument in both these gets a little circular. So let me sum up what I think these two readings say. And I think they really go well together. God is love. If we want to know God, and who here doesn't want to know God, then we must love. When we love, we get a glimpse of God. And if we want to remain in God and want God to remain in us and with us, we must keep loving. By doing that, we remain connected to God, connected to Christ, because it is in Christ that God showed love to us. That's how we have any idea of love, because of Christ. And so we are like branches to remain connected to this vine of Christ who loved us so much he gave his life. And if we remain connected through our love for God and for neighbor, we will continue to know God and remain in God. And finally, we can bear fruit. And the fruit we bear is itself love. Love begats love. We are rooted in love, and we produce the fruit of love. That's it. But, as you probably already know, saying it is much easier than doing it. And this simple statement, God is love, has profound and quite deep and difficult ramifications for us, I think. God is love. I was reminded this week of a colleague of mine. I didn't know him well, but he was a fellow pastor in my previous presbytery. Served one of the larger churches in the presbytery, and he was getting married. And he decided he would get married on a Sunday morning in worship at his church as part of the Sunday worship, which I thought was a beautiful idea. And he got complaints. I kid you not. He got complaints from his own congregation. Well, this isn't the appropriate time to have a wedding. Plus, it's going to make the service go so much longer. Seriously, there were people who thought it was not appropriate. You know, here are these families and friends. Oh, they have to come to a Presbyterian worship service to come to the wedding? That doesn't seem fair. But if God is love, what better place and more appropriate place than Sunday morning worship or any worship to have a wedding? And of course, this reminded me of the whole debate in our whole society about marriage and weddings and about love and when it's appropriate and when it is not appropriate. And if you take seriously that idea that God is love, the whole debate becomes almost ridiculous, regardless of what side you're on. The whole idea, in fact, that the state can prescribe love becomes ridiculous. Maybe that was the initial problem, thinking the state should be involved in any way. Plus, we make it more difficult because we're not really talking about love. We are talking about other things. The Hallmark card version of love. Or the flag-waving version of love. Or just about sex. And not love. Because if God is love, any time we love, truly love, with all that that entails, God is there. And for us to try to limit that in any way, for anybody, is like trying to limit God. It's rather arrogant. Of course, I was also struck repeatedly this week by the phrase, if you say you love God, but you hate a brother or sister, you are a liar. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? I work out at the fitness center here in town a number of days a week, and there's someone who comes in there, one of the regulars, that just rubs me the wrong way. He comes in. If you go there, you may recognize him. He comes in. He's one of the people who always has to have at least two TVs tuned to his station. One of them usually CNBC, the other Fox News. But he's got to take over, you know, these TVs. That's okay. I mean, I understand. He's also so loud, and he laughs. He works out, and he laughs. He's watching Fox News and CNBC, and he's laughing. And it's loud, and every time he does it, I'm jumping because it's so loud. And it's not happy laughter, it's mocking laughter. To give you an example, I was working out this week, and he was there laughing, and someone said to him, what are you laughing at? And he said, the Baltimore riots. I kid you not, he was laughing at them. Now, he also makes other loud noises, bodily noises, you know, that kind of thing. I have seen him blow his nose into his T-shirt. I see this guy in there, and I want to just not, I want to go home and not go work out. What I'm trying to tell you, this is confession time, is I hate this guy. I hate him. So I'm on the elliptical this week, working out, and he's there. And I'm thinking about this sermon. And obviously, it doesn't take long before I think, I'm a liar. I claim to love God, and I don't love this guy. But I don't want to be a liar. I don't love this guy yet, but I said a prayer for him, and I said a prayer for me. And then I got out of there as quickly as possible. But this has serious implications. We are told here, as God loves everyone, we are to love everyone with that same depth of love. And what was the love shown to us? Willing to go to death for us. Am I willing to die for this obnoxious, annoying guy on the elliptical next to me? If not, I'm falling short of what I claim to be. God is love. And if you claim to love God, and there's anyone in the world you don't love, you've still got work to do. Take a minute and look around the sanctuary. And, you know, if you want to wave to someone you haven't said hi to her, then go for it. Anyone in this sanctuary that you don't love? That you would not lay down your life for? Maybe that's too easy. Anyone in your family? Extended family, this includes by marriage, that you don't love? Anyone in the state of North Carolina? And I'm including politicians, that you don't love, that you would not lay down your life for. No, I'm including politicians. Politicians are people too. I know, that's a tough one too, but in our country, do you love our current president? Do you love our current Senate Majority Leader and current Speaker of the House? Do you love them? Do you love those protesters in Baltimore? Do you love all the police officers across this country? Do you love those who are members of ISIS and Al-Qaeda? Do you love them? Would you trade your life for them? God is love. And that sounds so wonderful and gauzy and simple and hallmarky. But it means we are to love everyone as well. Because whenever we love, we are connected with God. And anytime we do not love, we are severing our connection with that vine. So here is your suggested homework. This week, starting right now, every single person you encounter, in person, on the phone, that you see on TV or online, that you interact with in any way, shape, or form, love them. Unconditionally, love them. When we've perfected that, we'll move on to step two. Amen.